This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
Do you want to make believe there's nothing up my sleeve?
Yes, it's my all-time favorite time of year. It's finally here once again. I'm talking about Christmas in July. This is the Decibel Geek Podcast. My name is Aaron Camaro, and I'm joined by Chris Sinzak.
Season's greetings.
Thanks, man. Same to you. Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm telling you, this is always my favorite time of year.
A lot of our listeners.
Yeah, we try to be the awesome KISS podcast. There's so many awesome KISS podcasts out there. We want to be one, too, but we only have the power to do it for a month.
Our plan is always to rule July, and then we let the other guys do the rest of the year. It's an attempt.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. We leave the rest of the year to you guys. It's always fun to do these, and I think we have some cool stuff planned for you this month.
Yes.
What is this, like fourth or fifth year in a row we've done it, I think.
Oh, man, I love it.
But we never tire of talking about KISS, and I know you KISS fans that listen to the show are excited for everything, and we got a good one this week.
Yes, most definitely. But before we get into this week's festivities, we got to kick it off the right way by taking care of a little bit of business. I got some tissues sitting right here next to me, but I don't need them. Why? Because I see it right there in front of me, and I count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars in iTunes. It's another sweet review. This one comes to us from Michael Street in Charlotte. Woo! North Carolina. Yes. And it's entitled, Give You What You're Looking For. And it goes a little something like this. The albums Unleashed shows are insanely good. Love that they don't do the obvious albums. John Corabi on Motley Crue 94 was my favorite show. My second concert ever was Lita Ford and Tough. Love the Stevie Rochelle show, even though I was never a huge fan. After the show, it made me buy that album. That's awesome. That's what it's all about. If you guys continue to refine your craft, one day you might be half as good as Michael Butler. Hey, I think we're half as good as Michael Butler.
That's what you call a complisalt.
But we're forced to take it because we love the 5-star iTunes review so much.
Yes.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
That's awesome. We appreciate it.
And I know Michael's name real well because I'm a regular listener to Michael Butler's show, the Rock and Roll Geek Show. And Michael Street is a regular contributor to that show. So
right,
it was kind of cool to hear from him. And I'm glad you listened to the show, Michael. And we're going to see Michael and Michael in Nashville in August at the Nashville Rock and Pod Expo.
Heck yeah. Speaking of that, man, it's right upon us. It's not that far away.
Less than two months to go.
I'm excited for that as well.
Yeah. Big announcement came out this week. Came out yesterday as of this recording. The Heavy Metal Parking Lot screening and reunion is happening
at the Rock and Pod Expo. So who's all involved in that that's coming to this?
First off, if you've never watched Heavy Metal Parking Lot, go on YouTube. It's free. It's 16 minutes long. It won't take any time at all to watch.
And 16 minutes of awesomeness.
You'll thank us for turning you on to it. Because it's a snapshot of basically everybody getting loaded in the parking lot before a 1986 Judas Priest concert on the Turbo Tour.
And if you were going to rock concerts in 86, I'm sure you can relate.
Absolutely. It's perfect. And so one of the filmmakers, Jeff Krulik, is going to come. And two of the more memorable cast members, Jalen Graham Owens, otherwise known as Graham of Dope, is going to be at the expo.
Sweet.
And he put a book out called Graham, the first 20 years. He's had quite a turbulent life, but he's turned things around, and it's a book, and he'll be there signing copies of his book. And so he's kind of already been out in the public, but he wasn't on the Where Are They Now part of the DVD. And then the big catch, which is this guy, even the filmmakers hadn't found him until we were lucky enough to track him down. And thanks to Patrick Johnson, one of our contributors, and you helped design the Decibel Geek logo, we tracked down DC-101 guy, otherwise who's name is Johnny DeVault, and there's a whole long, and actually I'll share that story in the VIP about how we tracked him down and everything, but he's coming, and he, if you'll remember him, because he sings Living After Midnight on camera.
Yeah.
And we're real excited to bring him to Nashville, and it's gonna be a cool thing. And then of course more special guests have been announced, and It's basically like Comic-Con, but for rock nerds.
Yeah, rock podcasting Comic-Con, more or less, you know.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing that I want to see in Nashville. Like, if I had nothing to do with any of this and had no idea even what a podcast was, I would definitely go to this. Because it's going to have music vendors are going to be there, and they know. Bring the rock stuff.
Yep.
Leave the country, leave the jazz, leave the rap, leave it all at home, because these people are rock and rollers. Dig deep into your treasure stash and bring out your best rock memorabilia, your best rock CDs, your best rock LPs, you know, everything you got, bring it out and put it for sale, because the rock and rollers are coming.
And that's kind of been my MO through the whole thing of planning it, was put together something I would want to attend.
Right. So you want to make the rock and pod fest that you would always want.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, all of this started with the idea of a lot of us rock podcasters getting together, and everything else has just kind of blossomed around it.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's a big part of this, is getting all of us in the same room. Of course, to meet up finally and say hi to everybody and get to mingle and hang out with our buddies that we've known online for years, but never met in person.
Right.
But also to bring general public that may not be familiar with our shows, for like stuff like the Heavy Metal Parking Lot Reunion, for the vinyl vendors, for the producers panel that's going to be cool with Michael Wagner, Toby Wright, and Kevin Beamish. People that may not be familiar with podcasts, to get turned on to podcasts. We're hoping to convert a whole bunch of new people to all of these shows.
Yes.
That should list off the shows that are going to be involved.
Okay.
And all these shows.
You're good at reading lists.
Oh, God. Yeah, because I'm getting ready to do another one. But yeah, the confirmed podcasts that are going to be there are Rock and Metal Combat, Decibel Geek, of course, Rock and or Roll, the Pods and Sods podcast, Rock Strikes 10, Pod Kiss, the Rock and Roll Geek Show, Kiss Room, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, The Great Albums, The Double Stop with Brian Sword, Podcast Rock City, Tramps Like Us, That Dandy Classic Music Hour, The Hustle, Zilch, The Monkeys Podcast, Pop, Talking Metal, Classic Rock Drops, Drunken Lullabies, Kiss FAQ Podcasts, Talk To Me Podcast, Cobras and Fire, Ages of Rock Podcast, Sit and Spin with Joe, and the Synaptic Empire.
Man, you know, that's just the thing. You're going to put us all in the same room and just enjoy the hilarity.
There should be plenty of hilarity.
And the hijinks. It's going to be great.
There's even going to be, it's funny, it's very ironic with doing the Heavy Metal Parking Lot screening. There's going to actually be a film crew filming the expo.
That's awesome.
And all, of course, Rock and Ron's coming in to film stuff for the Decibel Geek channel, too. So, but yeah, there's going to be like basically like Rock and Pod Expo parking lot, I guess.
Oh, man, it's going to be great. I can't wait. It's going to be the party of the summer. And of course, we want you to come to Nashville and enjoy the hilarity and the hijinks with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the more the merrier. This is going to be one big party.
Yeah.
If you ever thought about coming to Music City, you know, and that's a great place to have something like this, because it's all about the music. If you ever thought about coming here, that's the weekend to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know what, you can spend a few days doing the sightseeing. There's all kinds of great things to do here in Nashville.
Absolutely.
And then on Saturday, you can come with us and spend your day. And maybe even pop out for a little while Friday night for our pre-party.
Yeah, we're having a pre-party the night before with three awesome bands. Desolation Angels, the Bad Company tribute band. Also, Denman, who's been on the show.
Yeah.
And The Tip, who we've played on the show before, too. With three awesome bands. And, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I'm really, really excited. And I'm just so thankful that it's fallen into place the way it has.
And we are super, super close to meeting our goal. On the fundraiser deal.
Yes,
we are.
We may have met it by the time you hear this. I don't know.
Sweet.
But Nashville Rock and Pod Expo, Saturday, August 26th. There'll be, of course, a link in the show notes, and go to GoFundMe.com/Rock and Pod Expo. And you can get your tickets there.
All right. So we're going to have a lot of fun this week. We're kicking off Kissmas in July in high style. But before we get into that, man, last week's episode, wow, man, what a great response we got from that, you know, and how cool was it for Donnie V to come on the Decibel Geek podcast and just basically blast his soul all over the internet.
He really did. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, he
did not hold back, and it was a lot of fun having him on, and a lot of people really seemed to enjoy the episode. So
right.
We're definitely hoping to have him back on for an Albums Unleashed.
Heck yeah, man. Multiple Albums Unleashed with him, and we'd like to have Chip on the show,
absolutely,
too. So, Chip, if you're listening to Decibel Geek podcast, man, we'd love love to have you on as well.
Absolutely. So Geeks of the Week, these are the people that share it on Facebook, retweet it on Twitter. Last week's conversation with Donnie V. Geeks of the Week this week are Cobras and Fire, Rock Podcast Hoops, Joseph Capone, Anthony Britt, Chuck Noseworthy, Rob Webb, Freeform Rock Podcast, Mark Alden Taylor, The Riff of the Day, Gino Ames, Tom Cullen, Neil Johnson, Joshua Toomey from Talk To Me, Paul Watson, Chris Jones, Renee Scroggins, Simon Brereton, Joe Royland, Sit and Spin with Joe, The Brett Anthony Rock Show, Dave Shirt, Scott Smith, Christina Green, Baco, Jennifer Hans, Trevor McDougal, Brian Knapp, Cal Hens, Rockin' Ron Runyon, James McCormick, Dan Chapu, Andrew Jacobs, Brad Schick, Justin A. Six, Brandy Bingham, Wayne Cross, Brant Cattell, Adam Cox, Todd Cunningham, Joe Lescon, Mikel Burrell, Kenneth Roy, Dave Koska, Legendary Rock Interviews, Sean Cullen, Shane Haber, Robin Bennett, Aaron Baker, Adrianus, Sonny Pooney, MDG Rock Photography, Joe Beck, Ernesto Aguiar, The Rockin' Donkey, Christopher Stokes, Valaria Card, Digital Kill the Radio Star, Billy Hardcore, Himmy Jimmy, 2583, Just Enough Fan, Heaven or Hell, 345, and of course, the Mooger Fooger.
No doubt about it. Hey, thank you everybody that went out there and reshared and retweeted and told everybody they could about our episode with Donnie V. Awesome stuff. We're wishing him the best. Yep. And we thank you guys always for helping us spread the word about the Decibel Geek Podcast.
Let's do it with
now,
this one.
Because if you do it this week, kicking off Christmas in July, you share it again, we're going to read your name off at the top of the show next week. You know how it works. We want to do it. So you go ahead and make that happen. Now, I'm ready for Christmas in July, man.
We went over to Ryan Cook's house and hung out with him and Philip Schaus and Jeremy Asbrock, basically right. Otherwise known as the Gene Simmons Band.
Right. And if you guys are longtime listeners of the show, you are familiar with all three of these gentlemen.
Yes, they've all been on the show before.
And then went on to superstardom after that.
And
amazing.
If you heard their previous appearances on the show, you know they're diehard Kiss fans.
Yeah,
so
you know it.
We've enjoyed living vicariously through their adventures playing with Gene. It's been a crazy, awesome experience to watch these guys get the spotlight. Like
you know
this.
What I liked? I liked it when the news first broke and that it was happening, and then they played the first show, and then everyone was like, who are these guys? And I would think to myself, the Decibel Geek Podcast listeners know who these guys
absolutely.
Are. Heck yeah.
And it's great that Gene's got these guys in his band.
Yeah.
Their heart's in the right place, and they're talented out the wazoo, too.
Yes.
So let's enjoy a conversation with the Gene Simmons Band.
Stuff during that went from Doc's office when that one was happening because it was in that slip, that plastic slip cover thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And
I have it somewhere.
And the remaster of I think they even remixed Alive 3 on that. It sounds way better than
really
the one that came out in 93.
Wow,
way better. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just had this major thing lately that I'm gonna go buy Alive 3 remaster on vinyl.
Yeah,
I almost bought
it's
it.
It's a good record.
Yeah,
that was
good.
I
almost bought
Watching
it the other
day. Really muscly on there.
I listened to it a lot.
It's good,
isn't
it?
Oh yeah,
I wore that out.
Yeah,
that
me too.
No, I still remember release day.
That
was
old dude.
I was
walking
to
the palace,
wait for the gate to open,
yeah.
Run in and get the CD.
Yeah.
On a day.
I still love that.
That
I love
my,
that era.
That was my first show.
Oh, was it?
That's the
was
that
too?
Yeah, that is the best Kiss No Make Up era.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Oh, they were
first Kiss show I was front row for.
I was front row for that too.
At the Municipal show?
Huh?
I was there, but I was much further back.
Man.
Mine was Huntsville, Alabama, so probably the day before.
So you were front row in Nashville here? I was at the soundboard.
Mine.
Watching that whole thing.
Yeah.
That was such
I
a
had
day.
Seats like 15th row or something, but house lights were down.
Yeah.
That was a great show. That was one of the best stage shows ever, man.
Okay.
I don't know how much you remember, but like the barricade was pretty close to the stage.
Yeah.
And, you know, all their guitars are tricked out with like two rows of picks.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're standing at the edge of the stage, the people at the front could pick, they could grab picks off the guitar. So
they
like,
got a handful.
There's this dude picking off Gene's bass.
Uh-huh.
The song ended, the lights went down, but I was like, this far away. It should have pounded.
Oh,
don't touch my bass.
Nice.
And my friend that was with me at that is coming to the Austin show.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'll bet he's forgotten all about that, and I get to remind him.
Yeah, Jeremy told Gene that story the night we were in the
Don't touch my face.
Oh, that's wow. Awesome.
Just popped him one.
So how many weeks in are we on this whole adventure?
It started in February. End of February.
Put on your mic. I don't want to say all this twice.
Yeah. Well, it's already going.
It is.
Oh, shit. Things in my way.
Yeah. No, we're just going to use the Zoom.
Oh, what is that, a Zoom? Oh, that's badass.
Slide the outro. Can Robert just grab that left knob? Yeah, sure. Just move this where you need it.
That's a badass camera.
It'll kill you if it lands on you. Gene's throwing it at me.
It hurts.
We started end of February.
Man.
And I went to Vancouver. We rehearsed. Well, we rehearsed the national one in December.
But we just did the cover songs.
We didn't play. Well, we had the arm wrestling to do a Kiss tune. And it was funny because we were doing, he wanted to do some covers. And it was cool stuff. It was like Money, mm-hmm. Beatles Money, and Roy Head's.
I like that Roy Head cover you did.
Don't Let Go.
Yeah.
Cheater Wright. We tried to do Tush.
Hmm.
Wow.
And we were doing it. It was great. And we kept... And then he was too low. He goes, no, the key's not right. The key's not right.
Because he was like, I'm not... I've got a strange too hard to sing. And I was like, man, you sound badass. We got to move the key around.
So Philip moved up to C. And he goes, that's 238 special.
Too happy sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, what would that sound like?
Yeah, it was weird. But it was funny because we got towards the end and... You know, we talked about it for a couple of weeks when we knew he was coming. It was
we had gotten together and worked up all the Kiss stuff.
Yeah. Right.
So we were ready.
That's right. And it was supposed to be a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then he called me Saturday night.
Yeah, you told me about
that. He goes, hey, I'm here. Let's just do it now. And we were getting together anyway.
Yeah, he crashed our rehearsal.
Pre-rehearsal.
How nerve-wracking was that?
It wasn't bad. We were just more excited.
Yeah. Made it really comfortable upon walking in and doing a goofy dance. And
oh, he did his best Nashville shuffle in the door when he walked in. Hey, how y'all doing?
Where was the rehearsal at?
SIR.
SIR, okay.
Yeah, we're on Cherry. But it was great. So we're playing, and we get done, and what was supposed to be, he goes, we'll probably do like an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah.
3.5 hours later.
Still going.
We're still going.
Oh, that's badass.
And it's great, but it's funny because we got to the end, and Philip looked at me and goes like this. He's like, start Deuce.
Yeah.
So I just started and we just start playing it.
Well, we had already played. We had a
in
question.
In the Midnight Hour, we did that one too.
We did in the Midnight Hour, and but we had a question about Rock and Roll Hell.
That's right.
We couldn't. The first riff, the last note is so shaken we couldn't tell what the note was. We all disagreed on what it was. Mm-hmm. So we asked him and he's like, oh, it was this. And he goes, another one that's very tricky is Parasite. And then so Jeremy starts playing Parasite, and we all start kind of trickling in. It's like, we're fucking playing it now.
And then, we ended. That's what happened. So we're playing it, and we're looking at each other like, we're playing this. So we made him play that just because we wouldn't stop. and then we got to the end and went, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and Philip looked at me and goes, go!
Start Deuce now.
Playing Deuce.
Just keep it going.
Yeah, he's in the mood. Just keep going.
Yeah. So we got to do.
And we did the dance at the end.
Yeah,
you did.
It happened. Awesome.
Yeah.
He was on the side, kind of watching, but he was doing the stuff.
Yeah, he was sitting down on this.
That was good.
Right on.
Has he seen any of the videos of the Blonder Than Hell shows?
I don't know.
I don't know what he's seen, but. You know, I'm.
He's really good.
Yeah, you know, probably.
Yeah, he does. He does the research. He does research on his own and checks us out and stuff. I think, but yeah.
Typically, each night after a show, I'll get up the next morning and we go. I mean, you know, obviously we turn in pretty late because the show ends late and you're wound up. And the three of us will hang with him for a while. Then the three of us will go back to the hotel and hang out and just start watching stuff. Whenever, but then I'll get up the next morning, only to find. Several emails from him of like, did you see this? Did you see that? He'll just start sending links of the show that just happened.
So he's very,
right on.
He's really
very critical of the performance.
I think he's just interested to see what's out there, you know. And fortunately, it all looks like it was pretty good.
And he's not anti it at all because he tells people when they come up on stage, like post on YouTube, Schmootube, you know, film,
Flickr, whatever.
So he's really pro that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, he loves it.
That's cool.
He loves it.
Well, yeah. I mean. Of course, the videos are all over the place now.
From
and thank you all for doing the live stream stuff that you do during the shows.
Oh, great. Yeah. Yeah.
That's as close as I can get to actually being
there. That's what we hoped would happen. Yeah. Because we were talking about, even though Vancouver was super cool, it really was. It was a corporate gig. But both of them.
We didn't really know where our boundaries were there either.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, though, it just wasn't... It was fantastic. I mean, it was amazing. Those people were so nice and took care of us, but they were there for something else.
Yeah. It
wasn't a KISS show.
Yeah.
And I said to the guys on the way back, I'm like, man, that was awesome. I go, but I just crossed my fingers that when we actually do our first U.S. show for a KISS
audience,
right,
that we break the internet. And man, that first night in Cleveland, it just
killed me. Yeah, it did.
You know, because we have got love for sale.
Because Ryan got an email from Gene about the Cleveland show, and he was like, let's cut the covers. KISS fans want to...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We were still in Canada at this point. It was the day after the show.
Yep.
Before they were leaving. And it said, let's cut the covers. KISS fans want to hear KISS, you know, nuggets, KISS classics. What are some cool KISS tunes that we could do? You can probably hear us in San Antonio yelling. It's like, oh my God!
Yeah.
So we just, you know, start, okay, got love for sale. Charisma. Love him, leave him. You know, we just start hammering them out.
Well, it's cool that you said that he is open to it, because you know what the one cool thing about him is he's never told us no.
Yeah.
Now, he will, it's his band, mm-hmm. and he does everything, but he'll be like, we'll say Charisma, he'll go, let's try it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we get to the end of something, he doesn't, but he always tries everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
And that's just awesome. I mean, what more could we ask for?
I'm not going to lie, though. One of my friends was in the audience at the first show for the KISS fans, and I'm not going to lie, it got a little dusty in the room a couple of times with some of the stuff you guys were pulling out. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that they're playing this.
We'll see you tonight.
Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah. And that was the show where we did the intro in the Radioactive.
That was great.
Yeah.
And then, like, just the whole thing. And then Deuce.
Well, and, you know, and, like, the fact, of course, you know, Gene has final say, so he gets all the credit for that.
But yeah.
You guys deserve a huge amount of credit for bringing that stuff in.
Because
he didn't just hire a group of session musicians.
Right.
He hired three diehard KISS fans.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you don't mind, before I leave, I want to take a few photos of, especially the bathroom. Just so
I
want to see what the bathroom looks like for these guys. This is it.
The shower curtain is kind of the centerpiece of the room in there.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, or I wonder if there's times where he's like, oh man, these guys are really big
fans. You know the thing though that I think we've been good at, and he may hear this at some point and go, nope, you're wrong.
Yeah.
But he loves to just sit and shoot the shit and talk about whatever we want and everything.
Mm.
We've done a really good job about leaving him alone. Mm. It's like, wherever we play somewhere, we always make sure that Gene's got a dressing room and we have a dressing room.
Yeah.
We end up hanging out together anyway, but we always want to make sure that he knows we're there and we're ready for what he needs, but we're out of his way.
Yeah.
And then he always comes in and goes, what are you guys doing?
Let's go over here.
Are you guys in here?
Well, let's go over here. You know, and he's great. But I think we've done a really good job of not grooming him. Because it'd be really
much harder time.
I have to put myself in check sometimes and go, you know, you're going to see him a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see him next month, and then the next week, and then the next week.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm sure there's regular times where you're like, God, I'd like to ask him about this or this.
You can.
Yeah, yeah. You can.
It's totally cool.
Everything.
Oh, God.
The other night, he loves to tell jokes.
Yeah.
And he told us something the other night in Indy. We were all just back there talking before the show, and we heard it, and we all went, and Phil said something like, oh, yeah, he goes, you guys are just so nice. You just let me tell the same joke over and over, you know.
What are you going to do?
It's like, of course. Right? I'm sure you've heard a lot of big words like gymnasium.
Oh, every night. Every show.
The floor's dirty at every venue.
The floor's always dirty. Yeah, and gymnasium comes out like all the other big words.
What was your mother's name? Oh, I remember her.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds you of like the funny uncle in everyone's family that tells the same jokes every time.
Yeah. And he is funny. But the thing is, man, we listened to his records our whole lives.
Mm.
And as funny as he is and as nice as he's been and accommodating, when you start playing with him, there are two SVTs and, you know, and just the
one on each side,
to bookends the drums. And man, when that guy starts playing, you have no idea what a stylist he is, because he's just there and present, and it's like he's playing a lead instrument.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just unmistakable, that tone, mm-hmm. that it's everything.
Loud.
Especially that Cleveland show.
The walking basslines. Really and the thing is, yeah. See, that's the thing.
But I'm also watching a live stream.
I was just going to say, the thing is that people don't get, and it's been this way with every band, is like, YouTube and all that stuff is so unforgiving because it all depends on where your Zoom is or your iPhone is, or you're just hearing stage right, or you're just hearing this, or you're just hearing whatever. Yeah. And it's an unfair...
Right.
Of what the levels really are in a room, but, you know, he always sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He does, and he's singing great, and, you know, he's just been awesome. Every show's been so fun.
And I saw more dates just got announced this week.
Heading to international. Yeah. So Japan and South America and Mexico.
Mexico.
Canada.
Yeah.
Back to Canada twice.
World tour.
Yeah. Did you expect it to go this long?
No.
I don't. There were six shows to begin with.
Yeah. I knew it was just a handful.
It's with the Wizard World stuff.
And now we're booked into February of next year.
Really?
Awesome. Yeah. That's got to be due to the response from the first six shows.
Yeah. It went really well. And I think KISS fans are really enjoying seeing these because you've never seen Gene play music not in Demon, not the whole thing.
20 years.
You know.
Yeah.
And so people are really enjoying that and hearing stories and seeing him just being just a guy, you know.
Yeah. It's pretty laid back. He talks pretty much in between every song.
We don't go
from one song to another.
Not a slick production.
It's like laid back.
Yeah, the first night that happened where you guys like, what is going on here?
It's loosey goosey, but it's fun. I mean, it's what he likes it.
He really loves interacting with fans.
That's crazy. It gives him a good chance.
Just think about it. You go see KISS current day, or since 96, or even before that, but think of all the KISS tours. Mm-hmm. Besides the Oh Yeahs, what else did Gene ever say at a KISS show?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Other than Spotlight, motherfucker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's just like, it's a total 180 because... He walks in his jeans and cowboy boots. He might change shirts, you know, but it's just such a different, you know, KISS is his first love. It always will be. That's his baby. He and Paul, you know.
Right.
But it's just a polar, it's a 180.
Yeah.
Because there is no pyro. There's no makeup. I mean, he walks in the sound check ready to play. There's nothing sitting there on. He just gets to sit back and check his email or talk to us or do whatever. And I think he's genuinely having a really good time doing it.
He sounds like he's on vacation.
Yeah.
Well, it's because KISS is not.
He hates vacation, so not vacation.
You're not on vacation. This is not a vacation.
He hates time off. Doc told me funny when Doc said when he was little, Gene quit school because they had recess.
That's funny.
It's pretty accurate.
He told me, he goes, vacation. He goes, what would you do? Yeah. He goes, I'd hang myself.
Yep.
He told us that. But he's like, because I said, what do you know with your family? He said, oh, they're going to whatever. He says, I got to be doing something.
He wants to be in his office making deals.
He's not lazy. I mean, he's so completely hands-on.
Yeah.
With,
well, I remember on his TV show, like, every time they'd want to take him somewhere, he'd be like, ugh. I got stuff I could be doing right now instead of walking through the woods somewhere.
Yeah,
I can't picture Gene on a outdoorsy trip anywhere. That would
Oh no, I heard he's like, I hate nature. I can't see nature. I'd rather be at a Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they don't play Life in the Woods anymore.
There you go.
I thought about that, it's like, hey, wait a minute. Not so easy, is
funny.
It?
Who the hell wrote those lyrics?
I wonder about that one.
Yeah.
Do you see they broke that one out in one of the acoustic meet and greet things?
They did
a couple of years ago.
Actually,
they went through the first verse and the chorus of it.
He said, "I had him sing Stanley the Parrot."
That's right. He sang Stanley.
I asked him about it, and then he sang it for us.
He did.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. And my uncle's a raft.
My uncle's a raft. We got them both. And what kind of brought that on? Oh no, he was just going through the whole thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we were all. And it's funny is. The reason we kind of got on those tunes was because he was playing us all this different stuff of symphonies and
KISS songs, but
some of it we'd heard.
Different styles of music.
Different styles.
Everything from Hey See Dixie, which you know,
right.
To...
There was some Beatles, somebody had taken, like, and done them like the Beatles would do them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool.
And then, so it was like the lyrics from I Want to Rock and Roll All Night to All You Need Is Love.
All You Need Is Love.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and then there's a symphonic version of Black Diamond that actually really is amazing.
Well, I mean, I love the one that Yoshiki did on the Kiss My Ass.
Yeah.
That's just incredible.
But he was playing, he played us the Lenny, you know, the Lenny stuff, which we've all heard with Stevie Wonder and Garth doing.
Right.
You know, but there was some, there was some new stuff that, that we hadn't heard. Hmm. And he's got all of it. So we were sitting there talking about it, and then Jeremy brought up
Stanley the Parrot.
Stanley the Parrot, yeah.
I think there was a version of Strutter that was being played, and then he sang it over.
Yeah, that's
that.
Where it came from.
Where did, how did this work? And you say, oh, well, like this.
I had to listen really hard when I first heard that in an interview. I was like, how the hell is Strutter related to that?
But right.
Like,
yeah.
If you pay attention, you'll hear where it is. It's just the lyrics are placed differently.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of unreleased stuff, has he said anything about the box set?
A lot. Here's the thing, though. Before we... he showed us some stuff, but I don't even know what word... if we can say what would be in it, just because...
Yeah.
It's going to be cool.
Oh, man.
Right. I know.
Yeah,
I mean...
Hey, you guys are so responsible. Damn it.
Yeah,
no.
But no, he mentions... He mentions the Van Halen.
The stuff he says on stage, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he talks about the Van Halen brothers.
Because we do Got Love for Sale, and of course there's Got Love for
Christine
and Tunnel of Love with Van Halen's that we never heard, so...
Yeah.
Well, see how...
But it's going to be big.
That's been rumored about with the Van Halen stuff, is that the question is ownership. Like, Eddie and Alex somehow have a stake.
Oh, I wouldn't even want to get into the legal of that thing. That's why it's been so long.
Well, yeah. Gene Simmons and the Van Halen brothers and legality. Well, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a lot there.
Yeah. Two of the biggest.
Yeah.
Although, from what I hear, the solo that Eddie laid down for Christine 16 was basically the exact same thing that Ace wound up recording.
That's what we heard.
Yeah, so that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
So you're not missing any tapping or anything like
Tunnel
that.
Tunnel of Love is the one I'm
That's what I want
to
hear, too.
To hear how that one. Yeah.
That's got to be much different, I would think.
Yeah.
Well, did the Van Halen thing that just came out today? It was an alternate.
Oh, I saw that.
Vocal take.
Yeah.
I listened to it. It sounds like it might be like the tracking vocal.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's super clean.
Yeah. It's the alternate. Yes, not
it's got speaking before and after, like you can hear Ted Templeton.
And they actually end the song.
Yeah, you hear
my favorite. Oh, like my favorite thing
you
is
hear them stop playing their instruments.
And it stops. Yeah,
it's really cool.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
Me too. That's
awesome. And then something like last week, Kiss Wise, the Hoarders have held onto it for a long time. It's Gene doing a guide vocal for Baby Driver.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I saw
ZZ Top or something. It was really cool.
Yeah.
But he's not putting a lot of oomph into it, so I think he was just doing it to like
God
here's where the verse is.
Yeah,
the chorus is.
But there was what else was on that one? It was three songs. It was Take Me and
See You in Your
Dream. Baby Driver and Take Me was kind of the same.
Yeah. Yeah, but the production sounded better on the demo in my opinion than it did on the final version.
Yeah.
Like it sounded more raw.
It was three tunes off of
Rock and Roll
All Over,
I can't think of the third one.
See You in Your Dreams.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But anyway, all right, so part of the loose way of getting you guys together was to talk about, like, your favorite Gene songs.
Okay.
So, what are some certain songs that you think are, like, the best things that he's done?
We were going back and forth today because my main thing was, like, I go, we got to pick different stuff, the three of us.
Because that's 25 songs.
We like it all.
You wore your Van Halen shirt too tonight. Oh, great!
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, man, for me, it's like honestly, that question.
It's always evolving.
The answers change.
Well, what is it this week?
Sure.
So for me to start with, just because I would love for us to play it, and I always love this vocal on it. And off this record, and I'll get to the title of this thing, but off this record on Destroyer, they always said over the years there were certain things that they didn't attempt to do live more than once or ever because the amount of intricate parts that were going on versus singing and performing.
Right.
This whole thing.
Sure.
And Sweet Pain was always one of them. Everything, I can hear that beginning with those chords and there's that acoustic guitar playing the exact same thing with the electric and you can... hear that stuff standing out, and then the girls and the vocals and the sweet bang.
Yep.
You know, just all that stuff was just one of my favorite things always when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first record that I bought of Kiss before Alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got started there and then moving backwards and forwards, you know what I mean? Then I got the originals, so that got me the first three records, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But for some reason, that was one of the ones on that record that I can always picture him because I'd just seen him on TV like a week before.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny, too, because you look at album credits, and it would say Stanley Simmons or whatever. And I always thought that that meant the first name listed was the guy singing it. No, but it really was, and for a while it was mostly accurate because each guy. But when I saw Stanley on God of Thunder, or it was like, what's going on here? Yeah. You know, but that was one of the ones with Gene with Sweet Pain. Like that was the most visual song from them because I could just picture him in that get up singing that. Some 11 spin
about bondage. I mean,
Philip and I have done it live, so we know it can be done.
It can be Flaming Youth, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
It definitely can be done.
Man, mine's Larger Than Life. Larger Than Life is one of my all-time favorites. It's one of my earliest Kiss songs. My first Kiss album was Side 3 and 4 of Alive 2. And
I still can't believe Kiss never broke that out.
It seems like a natural song. Heavy, awesome.
I think it's kind of slow.
We're working on it.
Please play that one.
I know you
probably can't wait to play the solo on that.
Yeah,
that's such a big sounding solo.
It's pretty much my first guitar solo. It and Hot Blooded, but that's one of my first solos. It's not even Ace.
Yeah, no.
Right.
stunt Ace.
Yeah, mine. This one I'm picking it, I guess, first because it was on the mixtape that my friend Brad Breath made for me.
Brad Breath?
They got me into
Kiss. Breath?
Brad Breath.
Brad Breath.
Brad McWhorter. His rap name is Brad Breath.
That's cool.
And he was actually the cue card guy,
poor guy
in St. Louis. He came to the St. Louis show, and I got him back to
meet
Gene.
He's
the
cue card guy.
Yeah. Well, for the new songs, we have cue cards for Gene. But not the new song. The song's going to play a lot.
Well, everybody's been complaining about, you know, him
forgetting lyrics.
Yeah. So
solution.
We got it.
And by the way, you can put this wherever you want. I know I'm interrupting, but wherever you want in the interview.
It's fine.
The one thing about that I see people saying the complaint is like, hey, man, you've had X amount of months to learn this.
Yeah.
Learn this. We're paying you. You know what the thing is people don't get? It's like, I think you shouldn't comment on something until you're there and you're present and you know what's going on. Until you're there, don't say anything. And literally, he didn't plan on doing Charisma or Got Love for Sale until soundcheck.
Yeah.
And we played it for the first time there. And it's either, people say, I want to hear new stuff. Well, do you want to hear it? We're going to hear Warts and All.
Yeah.
Or you're going to hear, but that is the truth coming from no other better source than the fact that we're there to start in that movie. And it's like, it was put together that afternoon, and we did it, and it killed. And if you forgot a line, well, then live with it.
Which goes to his credit for going,
you might screw it up and say, you know what, guys? If you guys can do it, I can do it. Let's go for
it. And that's what he did. And you'll see on the video, he looks at me, and you can't really see him. You hear me start singing it. When he doesn't know the words, and he looks at Phil, and then Phil starts singing it.
Like, one more chorus.
He's like, going.
But no, he's great. Anyway. So my friend Brad was the cue card guy in St. Louis. I was like, Brad knows all the songs. It'll be great. Ladies Room, the Alive 2 Ladies Room, is on fire. The vocal's great. And my favorite part is like the break and how the snare drum sounds right before the chorus hits.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yep. Yeah.
It's so good.
Agreed.
Yeah.
It's another one that was a standard in the set list in the 70s, but they just never went back to it.
Yeah.
We
did it in Vancouver.
You did?
On the show, in Soundcheck. Because we were kind of getting done, and we're sitting looking at the paper, and Gene goes, what haven't we done? And I go, Ladies Room. I started just playing it, and we do a verse and a chorus of it.
He jumped in.
Yeah, he jumped in.
Nice.
So we did a verse and chorus of Ladies Room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll throw that stuff.
So that
lot.
Like, so everything that was just mentioned.
Yeah,
you gotta know that
you're trying
respectfully with him. We will say, can we try?
Oh, we actually have lyric cards for Rockin' in the USA.
Mm.
Oh, we worked it
on standby.
Oh, we worked it out.
We are ready to play.
Well, Philip kind of teed it up. Philip teed it up though for Gene
in St. Louis. I think the St. Louis was the last show we had before they went to Europe. And we were backstage after we were just hanging out after the show was on and laughing. And I said, want to sell you something. I told him, I was like, you get back from Europe the day before the Philadelphia show. You're in Philadelphia.
Brotherly love.
We're in Philly. Yeah. The America was formed here. It's like, right in the USA. And he went for it. It'll kill.
Yeah.
So we got it. We got the.
So we worked it up, and Gene forgot that he ever said that.
But we did. What did we do that night? She's a European on stage.
Oh yeah. Somebody was yelling it out in the crowd. So
how
I.
How much of it? I didn't get to see that.
About yet. 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Oh. Kind of. Jeremy and Gene did the.
That's
badass. Yeah.
Well, he's got to do the whole thing.
Yeah. We tease at that one.
Well, speaking of Unmasked, like I know because I really kept track. Of course, I'm just Kiss nerd anyway. But since I know you guys, I was like kept track a lot of what people say. Naked City gets brought up a lot.
It does.
It's kind of high though. It seems like it'd be really hard to sing live.
After Charisma, that was number one. Naked City was probably number two.
Yeah.
That we got like. We asked our Kiss friends, like, when we got the question,
man, what would you want to hear? You wouldn't believe some of the stuff. Well,
I've got a list of my
Burn, Bitch, Burn. Which he sang with Brad backstage in St. Louis, which is pretty cool. Burn, Bitch, Burn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
I remember when Secretly Cruel came across the board.
That's on my list.
Was that you?
Probably me.
Yeah. Hell on High Heels.
No, not that.
Because I've gotten Trial by Fire a whole lot, but
that was not bad.
Man, would you rather hear Secretly Cruel?
And one guy yelled hate at the show, and Gene, are you insane?
On my list. Yeah. I've got a whole list of ones that I want
Knock It Off Carnival of Souls, right?
Yeah.
I had hate,
So you would really rather hear hate than, like, Love Him and Leave Him?
Oh, he wants to hear both.
Yeah.
He wants to hear both.
I got into the band in 87, so, and I was in high school through the early 90s, so my era. You know?
My age, too, yeah.
But I would love to hear Thou Shalt Not.
We do, too.
Yeah.
We brought it up.
We brought that one up.
We brought it up.
That one's actually been in an email suggestion before.
Please play that song.
We love it. He would kill it.
Yeah, it's another one that's like made to play live, and they never played it live.
Yeah, they never did it.
Yeah, never did.
And see, that's the thing. If we can do it, and we talked about it, we're like, if we can... just suggest, and you know, he's always really cool about taking suggestions or listening to us or at least entertaining us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we could do something every show that's just a little different to make each show unique, so then that way everybody...
Which we have so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Keep doing it.
I mean, getting to do Plastercaster was just a blast. Because, you know, and the cool thing is we really worked hard on singing the parts together, the three of us, and like on Christine and Dr. Love and Plastercaster and all that stuff, and just making sure that everything's just... more than right.
What knocked me out was Got Love for Sale on that first night in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Like, especially with the backing vocals.
Yeah.
This song sounds amazing live.
It was fun.
When we knew that we were going to do Kiss songs instead of the covers, that was my first one.
Yeah, such a great song.
That's the top of my list. Gotta do it.
And it sounds better than the album.
And that was the one show that we did all of Gene's tunes off of Love Gun. We did Christine, we did Almost Human, and...
Almost Human.
That was great, too.
You know what's funny, which I never knew, because he looked at me... And he gave me the nod. Well, I thought he was giving me the nod to start Almost Human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it starts on that A, boom, ba down, down, da 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 da. To me, in my pea brain, and on the record, every time I heard it, I just always thought it was the guitar starting it.
Mm-hmm.
Just the guitar, and then the band kicked in.
Yeah.
And I remember after I hit the first, he was looking at me, counting like, we're going to start this together. And I just went ahead and started it, and he jumped in with that super monster bass on that, dong, bow, bow, but and he started playing with me. When he started playing with me, I literally got, you know, chicken skin.
Nice.
Just because I wasn't expecting it, and it was cool, and he was ready to start it, and really just dive into it, and it was just, but just even the thing where we're doing that, where it does that descending thing, Almost Human.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's one of those songs
that seems like a challenging song.
Killed.
It's like, because it's, and especially the solo. I mean, the solo.
Well, you know what the thing was, Jeremy and I talked about?
Really. That was just kind of easy.
Yeah.
It really, well,
like, it's backwards. It kind of makes me noise.
Because it's backwards.
Yeah.
So you just I turn my delay pedal on and hammer on a lot.
But the thing was, when we started talking about doing that song and presenting it to him, Jeremy and I flashback real quick to one of the Kiss cruises that we played, because Jeremy and I were, you know, we always go to the shows when Kiss plays.
Sure.
And man, when they broke that out
for the first time,
we were just like, oh man.
And I can't believe I'm hearing this live.
I can't believe I'm hearing this live.
Yeah.
And we always try to, we hope that we have one of those moments like every night where someone there goes, I've never heard Kiss do this live. That's awesome. You know?
Well, that's the best.
That's so beautiful. Man, he sure picked the right guys for the job. Yeah. Nice. Good job, Gene.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that you guys ever take it for granted.
No, not one bit.
I know.
Hell no.
The whole show, the entire show is yeah. a moment yeah. like that. It's, yeah. like, it's crazy. Yeah.
It will never just feel crazy. Like a
you
job.
Know, I always joked it. I always joked it. 47-year-old Ryan Cook is high-fiving 7-year-old Ryan Cook like every day. He's going, dude, you know. And all of a sudden,
you're on stage with Gene Simmons. Yeah, you know, when you guys were kids, thinking about that, you know, probably dreaming about it. What is it like?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What was the call like to all your parents when this?
And mine was emotional, my folks.
Yeah, because, I mean, everybody's parents remembers their kids.
And what's even funnier?
Because
you know they had to take me until I was old enough to go myself. And what's even funny, I told Gene that story when we were on the ship talking about it in February. And I was talking, you know, like everybody does. I gushed for a moment. It's like, oh, my first show in Kansas City, man. My mom, he goes, wait, your mom, we're in Kansas City? I'm like, yeah, he goes, yeah, I remember her. I was like, oh,
walked right into that one, didn't you?
Totally, I did. It was a lob, you know. But no, my folks, I mean, you know, I just can't wait for them to come to the show.
Oh, yeah.
And actually see it, you know. My sister came last weekend to see it, and it was awesome and everything, but yeah.
Yeah, my brother's been to two.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I gotta think your families are excited.
They are.
It's
thrilled.
It's the dream coming.
Like, especially more than, when you guys listen to Kiss since you were little kids, and they brought you to concerts, got you albums.
Oh, I remember, you know what's so funny is I remember mom taking me, and remember how Kiss always had the oversized programs?
Yeah.
The big tour programs, the tour books, and all that kind of stuff. Our ritual was basically, walk in, run to the merch table. I get a jersey and a tour program, and they're each $5, maybe $10 for the shirt. The jersey, the books, I swear to God, were $5.
Yeah,
that's changed.
And then we go over to the concession stand. I get a pretzel and a Coke, and we go in and sit down. I'd put on the shirt and I'd sit and just look through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Well, here's something that's funny. Fast forward 40 years later, you know what, 38 ever. And I'm talking to Gene, and we're talking business a little bit about stuff. And I said, this is a pretty strange turn of events. He's like, what are you talking about? And I go, you giving me money. You know? It really,
I still think he's got a lot of catching up to do to equal.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe by the end of the year, he might be completely reimbursed. If I add in all the Kiss cruises that Big Rock Show have done, also.
Yeah.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Gene Simmons.
Some days, as I sit in my palatial mansion, reminiscing of the thousands of women that I've ruined for other men, the truckload of money that I've made, power and the excellence of being a worldwide rock god, and the millions of men that would give their left nut to be me. And all I ever really wanted was for someone to hold me.
Think you know?
You think you've seen it all?
Well, you ain't seen nothing till you've seen the 10th anniversary tour of Kiss. January 25th at the Skull. Kiss will blow you away. Special guest Night Ranger. Rock and roll intensity. Get your tickets now at Trax, Mother's Music, Dead Birdland, Chicho's, and the Skull Box Office. Don't miss Kiss from Whisper K94.
Throw another log in the fireplace. It's Kissmas in July.
Alright, before we get back into our conversation with Ryan, Jeremy, and Phil of the Gene Simmons Band, man, how cool is that? I love it. We're going to let you know that there's all kinds of great stuff going on at DecibelGeek.com. Think about this. We're going to celebrate the hottest band in the world all month long, just like we always do, but the celebration doesn't end with us. As a matter of fact, When it comes to Kissmas in July, the real action is at decibelgeek.com, because we have amazing writers from all over the world, all over the country, all over the place, and they're thinking about Kiss and they're loving Kiss just like we do. And these guys are smart, intelligent rock and rollers. And what they do is they take their beautiful words about Kiss and they put it down into the computer and they type it out and they put it onto the internet, and we get to read it and enjoy it. And it never ceases to amaze me, the stuff these guys come up with for Kissmas in July. And I'm stoked to find out what they're going to be doing this year.
There's so much that we could talk about and fit in for Kissmas. There's going to be plenty coming over the next few weeks, and some surprises along the way too.
Keep your eyes open on the website for the new articles all the time. Yep. And you can get yourself a t-shirt. You can hit that link to HK Collectibles Inc. Mm-hmm. You know, and find all kinds of cool stuff there. It's an awesome Amazon store. We highly recommend it. And of course, we've got our Amazon banner right there on decibelgeek.com. And what this is it's our little way to entice you to support rock and roll by also helping us help Amazon help us.
Right.
It's beautiful. When it's all said and done, I think you guys know how this works. You don't pay anything extra for anything you buy. We hope you spend a lot of money on rock and roll albums. We hope you're getting ready to buy that new Gene Simmons box set that the world is buzzing about. I know I will be too, man. I'm really excited for it. Do your shopping through our link on Amazon, because it helps us out a lot, and it gives us the list.
Yeah, we got a list of everything you buy, and you guys bought a lot over the last week, so I just picked out some of the more notable purchases. These are some of the things you bought over the last week. In books, On Rocky Top, A Front Row Seat to the End of an Era by Clay Travis. I'm a Vanderbilt fan, so I hate UT, but thank you for buying it anyway. For My Eyes Only, My Life with James Bond by John Glenn. That's not the astronaut, but the director of numerous James Bond movies.
Right on.
Running with the Devil, a backstage pass to the Wild Times, Loud Rock, and the Down and Dirty Truth Behind the Making of Van Halen by Noel Monk, who was Van Halen's tour manager during the early days.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to reading
the
that.
Stories. Holy
shit. I'm sure there's some definite dirt in that book.
Yeah, I'd say.
And DVDs, Over the Edge was purchased. Did you ever see Over the Edge? It's a Matt Dillon movie from the late 70s. Hmm. There's a lot of Kiss references, or like there's people with Kiss t-shirts on in it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was kind of like a coming-of-age movie from back in the 70s. Suburbia, Roger Corman's cult classics, was bought. Feds, was a movie, Rebecca De Mornay from the 80s, she's an FBI agent. Doctor Strange on Blu-ray was purchased.
Cool.
Team America World Police on Blu-ray was bought. How to Murder Your Wife, starring Jack Lemmon. I think that's one of O.J. Simpson's favorite movies. South Park
that's
Bigger.
That's funny.
Yeah, it kind of is. South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut on Blu-ray. That's a classic.
That's funny.
In music, Hardline, Human Nature was bought.
Awesome.
Boston self-titled album. You go, that's a must for your collection.
Sure.
Team America World Police music from the motion picture soundtrack was bought.
Okay.
And then also Volume 1 and Volume 2 of the Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mix was bought.
You can't really go wrong with that. There's a little something for everybody on those.
Baby Driver, music from the motion picture.
Uh-oh. I hope somebody didn't get excited and think it was the new Peter Criss rock album that we've only been waiting on for the last 15 years.
And I looked at the track listing. No Kiss.
No Kiss. You would think.
But there's a fucking Simon and Garfunkel song called Baby Driver that's on there.
What?
How do you miss it?
Jeez, Simon and Garfunkel.
A band called Wild, an album called Wild at Heart. I don't know that one. And then finishing out this week, Styx's new album, The Mission, was purchased.
Right on. That's awesome. We appreciate everybody doing their shopping through our Amazon link at decibelgeek.com. It helps. It helps us a lot. Little by little, it all adds up, and we love it, and we love you for it. One thing I want to mention before we get back into our conversation with the boys, we would like to invite you to become Decibel Geek VIPs, because there's some really cool stuff going on over there. You get access to our own personal Facebook group. Nobody mm-hmm. else gets to get involved in this. And a lot of times, you know, when we're talking about subjects for the show or ideas we might have, we like to kind of bounce that off our VIPs, because we know that they are our most ardent supporters.
Yep.
And they're not going to steer us wrong. You know, do you fit into that category? Join us.
Yeah, you should, because it's a lot of fun. Just ask anyone in the group.
Yep.
Of course, you got to sign up to get in the group. But yeah, we can get some testimonials.
Here's a little something for you. We had that great Donnie V conversation last week, you know, and it was... The episode was almost 2 hours long.
Yeah, right at that.
But in reality, the conversation was like 3 hours long.
Yeah, there was about...
Pushing a little more than that.
About an hour of stuff that was cut out.
You know, and we do have the... totally uncut interview with Donnie V. All the hiccups, all the audio issues, everything is in there.
The his, full Donnie.
His reaction to all that, absolutely. It will be the full Donnie, and it will be available exclusively to our Decibel Geek VIPs, which is all done through Patreon.
Yep.
If you know you want to check it out, you can go to decibelgeek.com, hit that link as well.
Yep.
Donate to the show if you think we're doing a good job and you want to throw us a tip. That donate button's, I don't even know if it works anymore.
It
it's rusted.
It needs some WD-40 at least. WD-40 bucks.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. We appreciate everybody that helps us out.
Absolutely. So let's get back to our talk with the Gene Simmons Band.
Well, what are some other songs of his that you think are like some of his best?
Again, I'm going to go back to my second one is I Would Love to Be Love Him and Leave Him.
Yeah.
And I love that one just because
I'd really like to do that.
There was a thing
guitar
that,
solo.
That's one of the best Gene vocal.
Absolutely. And you know what else I
said? That's a demon vocal.
Dude, it really is. Yeah. And I always seem to put like the list I put together today seems to always have a visual attached to the song.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys remember, but in the 70s, before there was MTV and all that kind of stuff, they did those three songs as a promo thing to send to Japan. One of them was Love Them and Leave Them. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was the year they won the People's Choice or something when I saw them for the first time on TV, and they just showed, I don't know if it was what it was, but they showed the footage of them with the fire going up. It could have been from I Want You or for whatever, but it showed like the collage of all this stuff. And I remember sitting on the floor in front of the TV watching, just being like, oh my God. And years later, seeing one of those videos, Love Him and Leave Him, because you know they're running down the stairs and he's doing those kicks and the jumps and he's got that killer vocal and he's pulling the bass and he's yanking
into it. Yeah, that's right.
It's, you know, that's one of the ones that still my favorite. You know, today it is. I would love if we could do that. Play that with him.
Is that one come up in discussion?
Jared Phil brought it up to me.
I brought it because we played it at the residency 2 weeks ago. We played it in Rockin' the USA. I was like, man, you know, me and Joe's band played it last week. It went over really well.
He just went, oh, really?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
It was great. I love that one.
Yeah,
but I like solo album. I'm going to go to the solo record. I like Burn Up a Fever.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's it's a different style.
It's so
it's the 70s. You know,
it's so late 70s. Yeah. It's so dancey and it's so disco and it. You know, it's so groovy. I like the whole record because it's so different. But that one, and I've got some more solo album songs on my list too. But
that's indicative of his time with Cher, I think. She might have been rubbing off a little bit.
Donna Summers on that
one
too.
Diana Ross did not make that record.
Oh, really?
She was on that.
Donna Summers on Fever.
But Diana Ross was not on that record.
It is Donna Summer on Fever. But I love that song.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That would be a cool one to hear live.
Oh,
stripped down just the basic instruments without all the fancy stuff.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great.
I mean, if we're talking about stuff that we want to do that we haven't done, because we're honestly doing a lot of my faves. We're doing Radioactive. We're doing Charisma. Charisma was the one I was pulling real hard for.
Yeah.
That was the one I most wanted to hear.
That's one of my, brain too, big faves.
Never heard
that song.
So, remind me, you guys, was that the first song on side two of Dynasty?
Yeah. Yes.
For some reason, when I was a kid, when I bought the record, that's the first. I played side two first. I don't know what I was doing, but I remember hearing that, and that's just still. I agree. That's just
I was really happy about that one.
Although when Gene's talked about it in interviews, he just downplays it like it's not.
Well, now when he introduces it, he said that was the number one song in Mexico.
Right? It was.
Was it really?
He said they did it. They did it in rehearsal one time.
Really?
Yeah. They never played a show. But they did. They rehearsed it once.
Well, have you seen that bizarre footage from when the Elder, around the time the Elder came out, them playing on TV in Mexico? They're playing in the Elder costumes.
Is it a three-piece?
But they're lip-syncing Charisma.
Charisma, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I saw all four of them. But it was just a lip-sync performance with, like, these big kiss letters that the TV station had built. Have you seen them before?
No, I don't think so.
It's really kind of crappy footage as far as how it looks, but it's really bizarre because it was a big hit in Mexico at the time.
That's what he says.
Down there and played it on TV.
Mexican TV.
Yeah.
Lip-synced.
Yep.
You'll literally see us on stage when he tells stories like, I never knew that story at all until Cleveland.
Yeah.
And you'll see him looking at the fitted draw like, really?
I don't know that. I have no idea.
But, and I love the solo on that song.
Oh, yeah.
It's simple. Yeah. There's not a ton to it, but it's just perfect for what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, so,
I love it. Yeah, Charisma's awesome. I love
I'm trying to think of something for the 80s fans. I mean, I know they want to hear the stuff, but...
Can I suggest
that? Sure.
Yeah.
Bust out the Crazy Nights, man. I know you got stuff.
I'd want to hear
there.
Thief in the Night.
I'd love to hear
Thief
that.
Thief in the Night. Yeah.
That's a big riff.
It is, yeah.
And I know a lot of people prefer the Wendy O. Williams version, but I like the...
Okay, I've never even heard that.
It's much rawer sounding.
Wait, really?
But I love Gene's vocal on it.
Yeah.
And it's not too. A demanding vocal, because if you remember on Crazy Nights, he was doing more soft vocal.
He totally was.
And I love his voice like that.
I do, too.
I wish he did more of that.
I do, too. I remember that. Yeah.
That's a killer song. I always think Good Girl Gone Bad's a cool song.
Yeah,
I'd like to hear that in the set.
I gotta listen to some of that stuff again.
Gene's material on Crazy Nights is aged better than Paul's has, in my opinion.
Right.
Paul's stuff sounds more 1987.
I honestly can't remember this stuff.
I'm actually trying to remember it myself.
Like his Revenge stuff, I know... really well. I listen to that album
a lot.
Me
too.
Yeah.
Still.
Has Paralyzed come up in discussion?
Oh, I love that one. We've actually, believe it or not, when we're actually riding together and not flying to shows, we listen to all those. We're doing like iPod Wars.
Right.
Like, listen to this. And we pretty much listen to the whole Revenge record, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Paralyzed was definitely in there.
That's a cool riff. That song gets overlooked by a lot.
Spit is on there, too.
Spit's cool. Yeah. Right. We had Scott Van Zandt on the show who wrote that song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he wrote that, and he wrote helped write Hate and Seduction of the Innocent on Carnival.
Seduction of the Innocent.
Which has a really great solo. The rest of the song...
And the little piano part at the beginning of Psycho Circus.
He did, yeah. The little piano. That's Scott Van Zandt doing that.
Oh, no kidding. That's a real person?
A Nick's toy piano.
Nick Simmons toy piano. He wrote it at Gene's house.
Gene says, take this home and come up with something carnival-y for me. And that's what he come up with.
Yeah, you're hearing Scott Van Zandt doing that. Like, you're hearing all the little toy sound effects.
Yeah.
That's all Nick's stuff.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
Yep. And Gene bought it from him for $1.
That's right.
He said Gene still hasn't given him the $1.
Oh, I love it.
So for 80s stuff, I had Not for the Innocent.
Not for the Innocent is great.
Yeah. See, I do know that one.
That's a great song.
I do too.
That's an overlooked gem, in my opinion.
Yep.
That would be
fun. What else did I have
for
the
80s? Fits like a glove.
That's awesome.
That was in the set list.
I love that.
Yeah. Now, didn't they used to play that on the Animalize tour?
They played it all the way through till the beginning of the Hot and Shade tour.
That's the Hot Knife Through Butter song, right?
Yeah. So was other than having to do that part. Yeah. You're like, I'd do it, but I'm not doing that part.
But I had Secretly Cruel. Did you guys ever see the double Virgo version of Secretly Cruel? The guy that. He re-recorded the song all by himself, did every instrument, but he did it in like a rock and roll over style. And it sounds like it came from rock and roll over.
No!
Well, I gotta hear that. We'll play that before you go tonight. Let's look at that.
Oh, absolutely. Listen to that and then let Gene hear it and be like, see, we can play the 80s stuff. Just an idea?
That's a cool idea.
It's pretty.
And that was a Secretly Cruel?
Yeah, Secretly Cruel.
Okay.
Wow. But it sounded like it's from a
from
different
rock,
era.
Like Eddie Kramer.
Yeah. In between, she had long hair and thighs. All over me, just like a cheap suit. Then she fed herself, and she stripped my soul. Began to shake, rattle, and roll, and then I took control. But I know she's secretly cruel. I ain't nobody's fool. Yeah, I know she's secretly. And also, he did a cover of Killer from Creatures.
Tonight, I was just listening to that before you came over, trying to get my list together.
Yeah.
Such an overlooked song. And when we just did the last Kiss Cruise, where they did the Creatures, did it keep me coming?
Yeah, I love that song.
did it great, and I just thought the only thing would be cooler is if they bookended it with Killer.
Yeah.
Because those are two really overlooked songs.
I don't know that it would go over great live, but I think Satan Center is an awesome song.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Did we rehearse Rock and Roll Hell?
We did. We all learned it because it was on the set list.
But did we play it with him?
Never played it.
Never did.
No, it was on the list for Vancouver.
We did it at most.
Got cut.
We did it at most.
I kind of thought he'd want to do it as a response to Ace covering it on the Origins album.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Well, because here's the deal. They were covered. Now, they did play it on Kiss Cruise, the Creatures Tour.
Yeah.
The Creatures Cruise. They played that.
Yeah.
And it sounded great.
It is a great song.
We were excited to see it on the list to play it, and he just pulled it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't. Didn't go down.
And I had, for newer stuff, I had Yes I Know off Sonic Boom. I think that's a great Gene song.
I can't even remember.
We worked up.
There were two.
Eat Your Heart Out.
Eat Your Heart Out.
And Wall of Sound.
And Wall of Sound.
And Wall of Sound. We had those worked up.
Yeah, I should play those.
Those were on our list.
He called me. Wow. Here's the deal. He'll send a list, and then we'll counter. Or not counter, but we'll go, oh, that's cool. What about this, this, and this? And then we'll get somewhere, having worked something up, and he'll just won't even. If he sees it, doesn't want to do it, he won't even address it.
But you know us, dude. He can send us an email day before the show. I want to do this song.
And we'll learn it.
Okay.
We got it.
Yeah,
we got it. That's the one thing that we did. That's the one thing we did agree on. It's like, we're never going to tell him no.
Well,
The one thing that he'll always get from us is like, if he wants to do something, we were happy to do it.
And the benefit for us is, we're talking about Kiss songs.
Right?
Yeah.
I know Kiss songs.
You know them all anyway. So.
I'm not prepared for another gig. Like, more than this one.
Well, this one.
Our whole life has been our apprenticeship for this gig.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I mean, it really has been. You know.
Nice.
You
know, you're basically performing with your teacher.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's
and, oh, and the last one I had that I think would freak everyone out because it's never been released on other than the box set is It's My Life.
I gotta remember. Oh, wow.
You know what? Someone sent me a copy of that. Was it you?
Maybe.
Who sent me that the other day?
I wasn't the other day. But they recorded it for Creatures and didn't make the Creatures.
Right.
They recorded it for Psycho Circus and didn't make Psycho Circus.
Wendy Williams did
it. Wendy Williams did it also, and it was actually on her record.
Okay.
But the Psycho Circus sessions that they recorded, that wound up on the box set.
Okay.
It could be the best Kiss anthem ever, in my opinion.
Really?
And they've never put it out.
I gotta revisit that.
Someone
just said that to me.
I listened to a podcast. I can't remember if it was you guys or if it was the.
There's so many.
Ken or Matt.
Yeah.
But they were talking about that, and I don't know that one. Might be on the box set coming up. I don't know. Who knows? I don't
know. We'll play.
Well, you know what? Another left to center pull from. It could have been Psycho Circus or Monster or something, and it wound up on his solo record. We ended up doing Sweet and Dirty Love.
I saw the video.
Do you know how well that's been going over?
Oh, it's a great song.
That's been crushing.
I was going to ask if he'd considered anything off the Asshole album.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's it.
Even people that dislike that album love that song.
Yeah.
Like that song.
Well, to me, it's in such a way, it seemed, until he and I were talking about it, Phil and I were talking about it one day when I was going, I kind of am hearing what's going on here, but what are we doing here? And at the end, I go, man, this is so un-Kiss. Just in the way that it's arranged.
Slide guitar or
yeah. It's like Blackfoot, you know, or something, you know. Yeah. And it's just really cool and fun. And those
kind of 70s Southern rock, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It's definitely got a Southern rock vibe to it.
Yeah, they did. And I'm still convinced that the backing vocal on the Asshole album is Paul.
It's Paul.
He says it's not. He says it's him, but there's no way that
it's
not Paul
Stanley.
On that song it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he says it's not. He says it's him. And maybe that's due to some writing credit thing. I don't know, but
every time
I hear it, I'm like, that's Paul Stanley.
I thought it was Paul.
I thought it was Paul too.
Everyone does except Gene.
Yeah.
He claims it's not.
I'll ask him.
Yeah, we'll ask him.
Yeah, tell him some schmuck in Nashville thinks he's wrong.
Not us.
Not us.
Yes.
And also, we'd love to have you on the show sometime.
Had to make sure we got that in.
Yeah, sure.
But no, I mean, although I've noticed he's been doing podcast interviews lately.
Has he really?
Yeah, he's done a couple.
I know he's been active. I don't know exactly. Phil and Jer are way more into the social media stuff, like whether I'm more in tune with it than I am, but I do notice.
Well, it's just in my news feed, like after this happened, you know, Kiss and Gene fans have just started appearing, so that means that stuff shows up in my news feed. And,
right.
Yeah.
Speaking of socials, as of today, we now are at Gene Simmons Band on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Awesome.
So
right on.
We're
infancy and all that stuff. But that's where you'll find all the stuff about the show.
I love the band
merch.
Logo.
The logo is
pretty
killed.
Cool,
it's
huh?
Really
yeah.
cool.
Who designed
really cool.
that? Do you know?
I don't know.
That's great.
I don't know.
They even got the money back thing. In the
oh yeah. Well, remember, man, the other night when we were in Indy, we took a walk out just to walk around the grounds and look at them before they did doors and stuff. And we actually found the merch booth. He's got a lot of. There's actually some really cool merch that includes that.
Yeah.
There's how many different T-shirts you think?
Like
six.
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 Well, I think right at the beginning on. Of the tour there wasn't any.
Nope.
They, like,
oh no!
Were
was,
like, why the
was
hell
none.
Is there not merch for this?
Well, because it was six shows.
Yeah, everybody thought why? Because
and then
didn't
it became
one,
more. It like, is. Oh, I can make some merch. So
he still does. He's doing his petting zoo. The base petting
oh,
zoo.
Oh yeah,
shows.
Yeah. I've seen the pictures of that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's cool. It's free, and you can. It's at every venue, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can walk up and grab. All the bases are on display.
Mm.
Take your picture with
take your picture.
Or
right on.
Whole deal.
That's very cool.
Buy one later.
Yeah.
You know.
Start a layaway plan.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
So I got to ask, you know, obviously the tour is doing really good. People are getting a lot of great response. Gene's having fun, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there any talk of a solo record? The other guys have been doing them. He hasn't done one in
forever. He's never mentioned to me.
Never.
Oh, that would be so cool if he'd do another one.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
A good rock album.
A good rock album, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, Asshole was interesting, but it's kind of like the 78 album. It's like him kind of all over the place with...
You know what I mean? I've
and honestly, the impression
styles.
I get from him is he doesn't care about recording and releasing music.
Yeah.
He's been pretty vocal
about the whole thing about the relevance of music from... I don't even know what to call them respectfully. Are they heritage acts? Are they classic acts? Are they just,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, he said there's no financial model for it.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I get.
Jeez. Yeah.
But you still have to love playing music at some point.
Sure.
I don't know. The guy,
yeah, sure.
He was such a prolific writer for so long, though. You'd think he'd want to get that stuff out there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what, like, as far as the vault coming out this, I think it's this winter or something, maybe. I don't know, like, the extent of that, how deep it actually digs. But so a lot of that stuff's going to be on there, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I gotta think he still writes, though.
I hope so.
I think that's in his blood.
Yeah.
Even when he was went all Hollywood and everything in the '80s, he was still writing a lot of songs.
Right.
They were about logs and fireplaces.
Knives through butter, logs and fireplaces.
Meal of fire.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's art, but I like it.
Yeah, exactly.
Although he seems to have a good sense of humor about a lot of those lyrics from back in the day. Like, he'll
kind of a good sense of humor about everything.
Yeah,
you know, he's
yeah.
very self-deprecating.
Yeah, he's
kinda...
not stuck up at all. It doesn't sound.
No, not one bit. The funny thing is, like we talked about. I mean, you have to realize the three of us. It's like I don't even think we could log the amount of hours since like, this whole thing kind of went down. You couldn't log the hours that we've sat and talked about around this table or whatever, wherever, just anywhere talking about the ifs, ands, and buts about it and the old boys about it and that kind of stuff. I met him a long time ago and would see him through the years at different, but it was always, I'm certain he never knew my name, but he'd see me and be like, oh, that guy or whatever. And it was always just, another guy in a band, and occasionally he'd be like, so what band are you in? Because you're dressed like that. What are you? You know? Or it would just be like, hey, or nothing at all. But it was always kind of a... It was never warm and fuzzy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when we got approached about this and everything, I was thrilled to death about the whole deal. But also a little bit just like, what is this going to be like? And something just switched to his credit to where it's like, okay, we're working together now. And he is like the absolute nicest guy to the three of us and like accommodating and generous and looks out for us and just so nice, you know. And not that he ever wasn't nice before, but it's just different now. And to be able to see that, it was just like, wow, this is just, you wish for something your whole life and then you get it and it's better than you thought it'd be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Because now you're part of the team.
Just because it's, you know, he's a guy.
Right.
And we're just, you know we're guys. Dude, just regular, you know, and it's just really cool.
No, you guys have a huge ego.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you're right. It could have been, it probably did make you take pause for a minute and be like, this is somebody I grew up kind of idolizing. This could go really bad.
Well, because you know what? There's some people that you go work for, and we have friends that work for them, or you've almost worked for them, whatever, and there's some gigs that you walk into and immediately you get your nuts cut off.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is where I stand, this is where you stand.
Yeah.
Or this is what you do and what you don't do, and he's not been like that.
Yeah.
Cool. I knew it was going to be cool after that first rehearsal.
Like, yeah.
He was so cool at that first rehearsal.
Yeah.
That put your mind at ease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Set the pace for it.
He quickly kind of walked in, made us feel comfortable immediately. Then we started playing. I think he was like, oh, okay, these guys are, this is going to be great. It's going to be fine.
Right on.
And I got to imagine there's been a lot of Kiss fans talking to you guys since this has started.
So it's so funny.
What has that been like?
You know, well, the friend requests you get?
Yeah. All Kiss pictures.
All
Kiss stuff. Yeah.
Oh, Ace requested me again today.
Peter Chris.
Hey, look, it's a Vinnie Vincent one.
Yeah, right. No, they've been awesome. And the funny thing is that Jeremy and I, especially watches like on the Kiss cruises, you know, there's a lot of chatter that goes on there. And they're very vocal.
Yeah.
They're very vocal.
We were all really surprised at the overwhelmingly positive response because Kiss fans are known for hating on everything.
Yeah.
And we were ready. We were ready just to get pounded.
And man, you know, we're Kiss fans and it's kind of a responsibility. I mean, I don't want to be hated by Kiss fans. I am a Kiss fan. No, I'm one of you. I'm doing my best.
And so the comments from Cleveland came out and it was like, wow, they like it.
Yeah.
They really like us.
No, it was overwhelmingly positive.
It was great. It was great.
I wasn't worried at all because I knew what they were going to get.
Yeah.
And I'd seen you guys play these songs I don't know how many times, but I knew it was going to be top notch.
Thanks.
No, you guys are an incredible, tight unit. He picked the right band.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Well, you know what? Speaking of the band, it's going to get a little different. You know, Paul Simmons is out with us now. Jared Pope was with us.
Yep.
And then Pope got the Kiefer gig, you know, which was a lot more dates and he just couldn't commit to both, you know, because he's going to be really busy.
Yeah.
So then Paulie came in, Paul Simmons from Cinderella, who Pope replaced.
Because at the time there was only six shows.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it was perfect for Jared. It was perfect. Yeah. You know, perfect for all of us. We didn't know.
Yeah.
And then Jared got the other gig, which is great, you know, and he was working and going to be a lot busier than we were with Gene. And then Paul slipped in, and then that got real busy, and Paul is super busy in Nashville with the studio and everything at Blackbird that he does and that kind of deal. And fortunately for us, we got really, really busy, and then it kind of started a friendship that I had with Brent Fitz years ago when I was in Hair of the Dog and he was in Union.
Yeah.
You know, and Paulie was happened to be working in the same place with Brent one day and said, hey, I might have to step out, and then Brent reached out, and he's like, hey, I think I'm going to deal with this. So Brent Fitz starts on.
And he and I had been yakking because he came out to the residency one night and played with us. So we stayed in touch and kind of yak every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's Paul does San Diego August 4th, Riverside August 5th, and then we come back, and that very next weekend, Brent steps in, and then Brent's in for the long. Brent's going to Japan with us, and
that's cool.
South America and Mexico and Canada, man, which he loves because, you know, he's actually driving to the Minnesota gig, he told me. He's in the drive.
Oh, funny.
Meet you guys there.
Yeah.
It's right
he lives in Vegas.
It's right over the border.
Yeah.
Road trip.
So Brent's going to be involved pretty soon.
That's great.
That's cool.
Fantastic driver.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, dude, he's such a good guy. Cool. We lucked out. Pope's great. Paulie Simmons is great.
Now, he's not going to wear Paul Simmons' makeup, though.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to take Paul's hat. He's aware.
That way nobody calls Brent a scab.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because with Kiss fan circles, politics are number one.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their team.
Yeah. Sure.
I know it.
Although, I'll ask you. If you don't want to answer this, you don't have
to.
Sure. How much attention does Gene pay to, like, all the chatter on the internet? Like, a lot of the people criticizing this lineup, that lineup, this person's makeup,
I personally
that
don't know.
Haven't you ever met a CEO that Googles himself?
That's what he told Jeremy, didn't he? Yeah, he said that to Jeremy. Yeah.
It's a good answer.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's never commented on that to us. I'm sure he's aware. I mean, like Jer said, he just, you know.
Well, he seems to keep his ear to the ground on everything involving his ventures and everything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's just, I don't know. With a band with that long of a history and that many different things, you know, you're not going to please everyone all the time.
Well, yeah, and it's cool that he's doing his own thing right now. I mean, Paul's got Soul Station.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm pretty sure, isn't Eric involved in that?
Mm-hmm. Eric's yeah, he's the drummer for that.
You know, and I'm just happy to, selfishly, I told Jerry and Phil when it first happened before we went to Canada, I'm like, you know, being the fans as long as we have been, I go, this is like a kind of a first in Kiss history that, you know, Gene Simmons is going out doing a solo thing.
Yeah,
if there's ever a book written about this part of their career, we may end up in the book.
You absolutely
are. Yeah, it'd be
pretty cool to be in that, you know? And I will still buy the book. I'll pay for it.
People will say, oh, no, Kiss never played that song. Yeah, but the Gene Simmons band played it.
Yeah,
were awesome.
You guys can lay claim to a lot of nuggets being brought out to the stage.
Well, the cool thing is there's no shelf life. I mean, we don't know how long this is going to last.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wants to stop, so there's no telling what's going to get added and taken out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, speaking of the shelf, our last date right now that's on the books is February in Boston.
Okay.
And the funny thing, the funny thing is we're doing, the residency's doing Monsters of Rock.
Right.
Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
The day we get in the port at 7 that morning, straight to the airport, fly to Boston, play with Gene and Jimmy.
That night?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Your flight doesn't get delayed, man.
I know. Day of show flights are dangerous, man. Yeah.
I'm doing an intercontinental day of show flight.
That's right.
I'm leaving. I'm playing Wacken with Wolf Hoffman.
Are you?
In Headbanger Symphony.
Nice.
That's the 3rd of August. August 4th, I leave Hamburg and fly directly to L.A., somehow get to San Diego, and then play a show that night, and then play the 5th in Riverside. So,
and it's funny, because we were talking about that in Indiana right before Gene left the other night, and we said, oh, so the next time we'll see you for a show anyway is here, blah, blah, blah. And Phil goes, oh, by the way, I'm flying from Germany, day of show, blah, 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 and Gene goes, get some sleep on that plane. Get sleep. And then there was a pregnant pause. He goes, hey, you're not singing. What do you care? You just play guitar. Don't worry about it. You'll be fine.
That's funny.
As long as you can still strum, you're good.
Yeah, as long as he's the pick, you're okay.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, and it seems like he's just having a good time. And I think that's the thing. I think we can speak for Kiss fans like you guys, is just, it's just awesome he's doing something musical instead of, I mean, all his ventures, he's entitled to do whatever he wants. He's earned it. He certainly owes me nothing. But just the fact that he's out there, you know, playing gigs, I mean, it's just awesome. Yeah. You know, and like, Kiss is still touring. He's just like, I've got a week off. Let's go do solo shows.
Absolutely.
He's in his 20s again.
There is no time off.
We were just talking.
He's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be 68 in August, and he just does not
stop.
It's
hard to believe it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and we're playing on Gene's birthday in Windsor.
Oh, wow.
Friday the 25th, and then the next night, Chicago, Philip's birthday at the Park West.
Mm.
So we have like a whole birthday weekend for the band.
And then that one that when we get off the cruise and go to Boston and play, that's my birthday weekend.
That's your birthday weekend.
Nice. That's cool. What a party.
Yeah. It's been great.
Well, so you guys have been doing this for a little while now, and you have fun, and you know, you've met Gene before. I think you guys, kind of, this is your first experience really getting to know him. Can you each tell us something that you learned about Gene Simmons that you never knew before?
That he's actually a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Your perception of Gene through media and whatever over the years is that he's an asshole. He's, you know, kind of chauvinistic and... No, man, he's not either one of those things.
I haven't seen either of those things at all. He's been fantastic.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt his reputation.
Yeah.
I always say that. Every time that we say how nice he is, he's probably here and goes, damn you guys. It's like,
well, you know, it was all right at first. He started spitting blood everywhere. Setting shit on fire with his breath.
People always ask me, it's like at the risk of gushing, he's the best. He's fantastic.
But speaking of the blood and the fire, do you know how many times every night or every day of show or every city we get somebody that goes, he's going to wear the makeup. And we're like, no.
He's going to fly out of the top. It's like, do you realize what that means? We went from like just a fun show to hang out to like a fire marshal thing. And yeah. No.
But there are still people that think they're going to show up and see Gene in the full Kiss regalia.
And us just in regular clothes. Like, oh, that'd be great.
Right.
That's going to look cool.
Gene and the other short guys. Yeah. The short dude standing next to him.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't mind it if he were to refire at the end of War Machine. He did it all those years without...
True.
You know,
yeah, he can do that without...
The sword. Yeah, throw the sword into the stage.
I think some club owners are going to have an issue with that.
Probably. Yeah, yeah, you know.
You're not going to pull a great white on us,
buddy. That's right. That's right.
Oh, man. Awesome. So it looks like you got a lot ahead of you, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So anything you want to say in closing?
To the people who don't understand why there's three guitar players.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's like studio adaptations of the songs that we kind of bring in that require three guitars. Kiss has four singers. You know, normally our drummer doesn't sing, so it provides backup vocals. It's very useful. And it's cool.
Yeah.
Cool. What's wrong? You're not paying extra for another guitar player, I promise.
It's like someone complaining about too much money.
Yeah.
But you know, like Christine 16, you're gonna get the harmony solo with the rhythm guitar behind
Deuce.
It.
The end of Deuce.
The end of Fade Out of Deuce. We do the harmony solo at the end of that.
Right.
In the chorus of pre-chorus of Got Love for Sale. There's three rhythm guitar parts.
Yeah.
Right.
We can do all of them.
And also, just to hear, and I actually found the interview and sent it to the guys where he talked about three guitars, and I think his quote was, a goddamn guitar symphony.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, right.
You know, and he loves it. And as long as Gene loves it.
But, you know, like backup vocals to call in Dr. Love, I mean, you need three singers to do that, so.
Yeah.
Works good for Alice Cooper, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know?
And... You Maiden.
Maiden. Work good for Skinner.
You ride the fader for Maiden.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for doing this, guys.
Thank you guys.
It's pretty awesome. Like, you guys have all been on the Decibel Geek podcast, and now all of a sudden, you're in Gene Simmons' band.
I know, right?
And you know what?
Now we can help. About, yes.
But we've done Big Rock Show, we've done the residency.
Yeah.
Hair of the Dog.
Hair of the Dog. But at some point, in every interview, we always have talked about Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Every time. Whether we were together
or
separate.
That's the way our show is, no matter what we're
talking about. Separate or together.
It doesn't matter. It goes back to Kiss somehow.
That's like every conversation I have.
I actually told Gene that, too, though, because we were talking one time. I remember when they were in Japan, and we were talking back and forth, and I said, you do realize, I go, just about how close-knit the band is and how fun this is and all that, and I said, you do realize that we're all friends because of Kiss. Right. Like, the three of us are buddies because of Kiss. I mean, literally, there's... Because the way the whole thing went down was the first Kiss Cruise happened, the guitar player that I had in Rock Show just wasn't interested and he's like, man, at this point it's getting too... I called Phil. He called me right back. He couldn't. He said, call this guy. I'm living with him. Went over there. And then we just decided, well, we're going to hang out anyway, even though we're not all playing on the Kiss. But it was because of Kiss that we all became friends.
Jeremy and I are friends because I wore a Kiss shirt to a Shazam show.
Yeah.
Okay. When you couldn't get a Kiss shirt at Target.
Yeah, when it's like, whoa! Yeah.
It was a Love Gun jersey that I got off Kiss Online, like, 99 or something. It was like, you had to search for that shit back then.
Yeah, before it was at Forever 21 or H&M.
People that have never heard a Kiss song are wearing it.
Yeah.
They're always the best friendships, though. The ones that start based on Kiss, you know?
Yeah.
I remember being in junior high, and this kid walks up and goes, heard you own the Elder, the LP. And he was my best friend for, like, my whole life. Why, yes, I do.
Never said that to you.
You heard wrong.
No, I get it, man. That makes sense. It does.
Any Elder stuff coming into the set?
Man, not that I know.
No, Mr. Blackwell.
Mr. Blackwell.
Only you.
Yeah. I'm sure there's been hollered. I'm sure it's been yelled in the crowd. I remember one night someone yelled, "Bass solo!" And he goes, "Yes, just what the world needs."
That's funny.
Yeah, about that.
The one he did on Animal Eyes Live on the Sesame.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool. He's got to run back and forth.
Yeah.
That's all brothers.
Yeah. We always ask him, though, we always joke about his different moves through the eras.
Oh, he's got some.
And you know how there was the running scissor kick?
Oh, yeah.
On the, he still does every night, does the thing where he does the, you know, the whole thing where he's doing the seesaw thing. So he still pulls that out, like,
yeah,
pretty much every night, but no scissor kicks yet.
Signature moves.
Yeah.
I still love it with the arms.
Yeah.
I do that one.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But he'll have the tongue comes out every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there are girls around.
Yeah. And the floor is clean.
They always ask. They always ask. So.
All right. Well, this is for Christmas in July. So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas,
everybody.
Yes.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.